Okay. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for coming. My name is Baer Esmat. I work for ICANN. I'm part of the ICANN's Global Stakeholder Engagement Team, and I work out of Cairo, Egypt, leading engagement efforts in Middle East. This session is about DNS study in the Middle East, and just to tell you a little bit of background about how this came about. A couple of years ago, we embarked on a regional effort to develop a strategy for ICANN in the Middle East. And we had this effort led by 20 community members working on a full-fledged strategy, identifying key objectives, strategic areas for ICANN to focus on, and providing specific recommendations on what is it that ICANN should do to improve and develop, strengthen more engagement and more participation within the Middle East region, and also to bring more participation from the Middle East region to ICANN. So one of the strategic areas that was identified in the strategy was to develop the domain name industry in the region. I remember the group had a lot of, discussions back then about the status quo in relation to a number of registrars, GTLD applications, number of registrations under CCs, under Gs, discussion on what is holding back, this industry from growing and developing further. And one key thing that was obvious in those discussions was the sort of lack of data, of factual data, not only about DNS industry, but about, the entire ecosystem. Some data exists, in a scattered manner here and there, but there was a clear sort of need for more work to be done to get this and to gather this data and try to analyze it and get something meaningful out of this analysis. So one of the recommendations of the strategy working group back then was to develop a baseline market study on DNS in the Middle East. So ICANN staff took this as an action item, and we developed an RFP in consultation with the working group that worked on the strategy, and we issued this RFP back in March this year. The result was have a consortium led by URID.eu registry to conduct the study. Last week, the consortium submitted the draft report on the study, and we posted the report on the ICANN website seeking feedback and comments from community. And today we're going to hear from URID and the entire team who have been working on this under key findings. And of course, we need also to hear from you if there are any questions, comments, or suggestions. And after we receive, the feedback, I think we're having this public comment period till October 30th. We're going to take this feedback back to URID to look into it and then work on finalizing the study and issue the final report, hopefully during November this year. So I'm going to stop here and turn it over to Giovanni Sipia from URID, and he's going to walk us through this.
A lot, Baer, and thanks for the opportunity to lead this study. It was a very interesting journey for us, and We have been this experience in investigating some IDN data in the past because we have been producing this URID UNESCO World Report on IDN deployment at worldwide level. And we had in the past done some case in some of the Arab states. So for us, it was very interesting to continue in this investigation regarding data of this. Let me start, first of all, with a big thank you to all those who contributed to the study, those registries, those registrars, which we surveyed. Sometimes it was really chasing them to get the data and understand from them what and how they are seeing the region. And a big thank you to Mohamed El-Bashir and Charles Saban, who have both contributed to the study, to the way we have developed, and I'm sure that they will also help us to refine the draft, which we have submitted to ICANN once the comment period is over. Just to give you an idea about the study, the background and the scope of the study, we have been requested, the RFP of ICANN was asked to investigate the DNS, the domain name system, in the Middle East and adjoining country region, 22 Arab states, plus Iran, Afghanistan. And those were the countries we were requested to conduct a study about the domain name system with a specific, let's say, focus on some of these countries about later. And the purpose was to really identify the strengths and the weakness of this region and see if there were some common patterns with strengths and weaknesses which we know are present. And the final part was to assess the data we collected and present some conclusions and recommendations how to enhance the DNS in this region at different level, meaning at registry, registrar and register level. The team was led by URID, which is the .eu registry operator since almost 10 years. We are going to celebrate the 10th year birthday of .eu next year. And URID has developed a quite strong links with registrars that are accredited to register .eu domain name. And we have also started a cooperation with ICANN in the year to develop local expertise in the DNS sector in Africa and the Middle East. And to this respect, together with Emily and other tutors, we had a very interesting course, which we had done earlier this year in Cairo, to registries and registrars of the region. Earlier, we have also been working very hard in the IDN area, internationalized domain name area, because URID, the European Commission, we have to support the 24 languages, official languages of the European Union, and they include IDN coming from the Cyrillic and the Greek script. And because of that, we have been investing a lot in understanding how IDNs could be better supported, everything that is relating to the universal access area, everything that is relating how they can be supported by the registries and the registrars. So we have done quite an extensive work in terms of supporting the study at the level of the DNS environment in various regions. The second partner is Oxford Information Labs, and it's an Oxford-based company. They are a specialist in assessing big data, and they have developed all tools to analyze data. And we have partnered with them in the past, the IDN World Report. And they've proven very capable, as I was saying, to analyze big volumes of data. And they've played a crucial role in this report to analyze especially these data regarding the region. Then next part is Emily Taylor. Emily is a great partner. I've been working with Emily since the very first IGF, since the WISIS in Tunis. So it's really 10 years ago. We are celebrating 10 years of partnership at working level. And she's the leading author of the IDN World Report. And she has been engaged in the DNS environment since a long time, from the time she was working at Nominate and then afterwards cooperating with URID and with other organizations to deploy studies in the environment at different levels. Then we have the last partner, which is Abu Ghazal, Ghazal Intellectual Property. Thank you, Fad. Who's was our regional partner and accredited ICANN registrar, and has been a leading participant in the Internet Governance Forum, and they helped us a lot in understanding certain dynamics. And we acknowledge from the beginning that this is a very where the DNS environment has a very specific. Regarding the methodology, we investigated the three main players in the DNS ecosystem: registries, the registrars, and the registrants. And regarding the registries, we have surveyed registries in 12 countries, and we have surveyed different elements of the registry life. In the kind of registry, if it's a registry based on the registry registrar registrant model, meaning that domain names are sold via accredited registrars, or if it's a direct registry where people and users can go directly to the registry, registered domain names. So we have investigated this aspect, but as well as other aspects, including the services provided by the marketing activities to promote awareness of the local TLD, the policies, how they have changed over the years, if there have been any regulation in the market, if the registry has gone through a redelegation, and much more. We have also surveyed registrars, and registrars were surveyed at two levels: international registrars eventually operating in the region to listen to what are by us regarding the region, regarding those level domains present in the region, the prices applied to those TLDs, and again, some way they believe what can be done to improve the registry TLDs in the region. And also we have surveyed local registrars, and that was a bit more difficult, but we managed to get interest data also from local registrars. Then it was the most the toughest part, which was the registrant survey. And we had to have at least 50 users in per each. And at the end, we ended up with 700 users, which were investigated in 15 countries. And they were asked different kind of questions regarding the internet usage, the way they use the internet, the way they know about domain names, if they have a domain name registered, if they prefer to host to have hosting services at local level or international, what their experience against the domain name world. What took a lot of time for us, we relied on quite accredited survey companies in different local countries. So this was something that these countries, these companies in these countries, they helped us a lot also in translating the survey in the local language. And also we have done a lot of desk-based research, meaning that we have gone through and read reports from the region, from international organizations operating at international level, which produced a lot of reports, meaning that we have gone through different websites to understand the payment gateways and also how premium domain names are treated in the region, if there are premium domain names under the extensions of the region. So this is the methodology which we have been following, together with the fact that all those who were involved in the development of the study had experience in the DNS industry since almost 15 years. And therefore, we had some comparisons and that could have helped us to better understand some patterns that we have been seeing. I'm leaving the floor to Mark Robertshaw from Oxil, who's going to speak about the quantitative analysis. Thank you, Mark. Yeah, sure.
Can you speak to the mic?
We need mic because the meeting is recorded. And if you can identify yourself, please.
Aram Welling. Can you explain a little bit about the desk-based category? The last category, yeah, right there. Could you explain that you did surveys? So what was? Can you explain
yeah.
that?
Yeah, Emily, if you like to.
It's really just gathering whatever sources we could from the region, relating to the region, and particularly we went to international organisations such as the World Bank or UN organisations such as the ITU and their publication measure things like economic affairs, literacy, internet penetrations across the whole world, and that allowed us to both find the relevant data points from the region but also to make comparisons with the rest of the world. But as Giovanni mentioned, also just looking for information, industry information about things like payment gateways, but at the sort of the industry level, we were trying to really find some baseline measures which would tell us about the primary development of the background for the region so that we
can... Thank you very much. As Oxford Information Labs, we are, as mentioned previously by Giovanni, experts in analysing big data sets and drawing conclusions from sort of large samples of data. So we're very excited to be involved in this particular report, as it gave us the opportunity to work with one of the biggest data sets in the world, essentially the total of the open zone files available, which amount to about 156 million entries. So for the purpose of this study, there were two data sets we were particularly interested in. First being any domain names which were clearly hosted within the Middle East region and the countries for this particular survey. And the second data set was that data set with additionally any domain names which were linked to the region, i.e. particularly had a script, Arabic script domain, or had hints that it was potentially a regional domain elsewhere in the world. The methodology used to produce these data sets were essentially starting from the full open zone files which we have access to, which amounts to 156 million entries, which we use cloud-based resources to actually traverse and get all the content for into a large database, which we're then able to reduce to create the two defined subsets. And I mean, the key metrics used for doing so were looking at things like country of hosting, which can be obtained by looking at the IP address of a website or a domain name, and then using a known database, commercial database, to identify which country that website was hosted in. And we used that to clearly determine which active domain names were hosted within the region. In addition to that, we were able to look at the script of the domain name itself, and any that were clearly Arabic, we could identify as being ones of interest for us. We went a step further than that and actually looked at the content of web pages for the whole 156 million set where we could, and where possible, any page which we considered to be containing sufficient Arab characters to meet a criteria for being related to the region we include in our set. So following that analysis, we end up with two data sets, one which was clearly domain names, I believe, were hosted within the region itself, and a superset that contained domain names that were also hosted elsewhere, but we believe were related to the region. And that those form the two data sets that we use for the main analysis, for the quant analysis for this survey. Another third source that we used a bit was the Alexa set, which some of you may be aware of, which is a set that's collected about popular websites within a region. And that's actually gathered up by a third party, Alexa, who identify by various methods ones that are most in use. And we use that to do for the smaller sets, about 4,000 in total domains within the region. We use that to do further analysis, and we were able to go a step further and look at who is data for each of those domains to identify things such as whether the domain name was behind a privacy proxy, and to do further analysis for a smaller subset. So for the primary set of interest, which was the domains hosted within the region, we were able to augment that data set with ccTLD data, which we obtained through the surveys which were mentioned previously, particularly the registry surveys within the countries. So we were able to sort of aggregate the data and come up with collective totals by country for usage of domain names in those countries. And say further to that, we were then able to, for the smaller subsets, look at things like privacy proxy and gather some sort of general patterns on those as well. The final area, which we believe is the first study of this sort of type ever to be done, we actually took this a step further and looked at keyword analysis. I mean, many of you will be aware of the tools used by Google for search engine optimization and management, which very much are based around keyword analysis of sites. And we were able to look at the subset hosted within the region and associated sites amounting to about 1.5 million entries in total, and actually take that a step further by looking at the most prominent keywords being used on each of those websites. And that produced some very interesting results, and we were able to report on sort of the most popular keywords by country and as a region as a whole, to look at sort of take that extra step with the web usage. Obviously, I mean, the interesting thing about the keyword analysis was that we actually did that in the native script at first. So we actually looked at the most popular keywords occurring, which meant that we didn't have to go to the effort of doing lots of language translation beforehand, but we were able to get the most popular keywords by country that way. So in essence, the key message here is that we started with the every public website that we could get hold of via the open zone files, reduced it down to two sets, one which was within the region, one which was a broader set of data, and looked at that in quite some detail to produce a quantitative analysis for this report. Thank you.
Mark, and next is Emily. We are going now into the finding section. So that's, yes, please.
Anya, for the record, just a quick question then about the... Go back a few slides, please. Yeah, about the open zone file analysis. Was this taken over, was this a captured period, or was this over... Was this over a time zone?
Okay, it was taken over a period of about 2 to 3 weeks. It was as close as we could get within the same point. So it was a fairly short time frame. Thank you.
And the sync to the content you said, in order to identify the Arabic websites. In this group, it also identifies Turkey. How did you incorporate, was there also, or I mean, how did you add that to the...
So for the purpose of this survey, we didn't actually go beyond Arabic scripts for the more general outside the region sort of identification of content. No, obviously the Turkish content hosted within the region would have been picked up by a different criteria.
We are happy to take questions now, as I understand there is another question from the floor and also from a remote part. So, okay, we go first with the remote. Thank you.
Okay, so we have a question from John McCormack, hosterstats.com. How did you deal with the sites on GTLDs?
Okay, so where possible, what we did was we looked for signals that the site may well be related to the region. The primary signal being that there was, took a threshold of at least 50 Arabic characters within the content. With some trial and error, we tried various different thresholds and decided that 50 was about the right threshold to give us meaningful results. That was our main criteria for outside of the region.
He continues, and this is not related to your answer. He says in mature markets, GTLD/com access accounts for over 8 early markets. There is significant hosting outside the...
I have two questions. The first one, glad you guys looked into this, because I think this is a very significant... web developers...
To answer your privacy proxy question, first if I may, we didn't actually go any further than looking at what we believe to be the sort of standard signals for privacy proxy. So using a known things like the words privacy, the words... There's a number of different phrases you can... that come up time and time again. We didn't... Yeah, exactly. So we didn't actually go any further than that, looking at sort of repeat registrations in that way, but...
Thanks. I suspected that was the case, but findings could be extremely misleading then.
But, and with time... It would be very nice to focus on unique characters, those, and I think that there's lots of ways that we like to develop the further privacy proxy. Absolutely, you know, in the absence of clear markers records, which would designate service, we're on guesswork, and also looking at previous studies and the sort of things that they use signal. Privacy proxy, but you're absolutely right. There are many hidden proxies that you would just not know unless you knew the involved, or you know, oh, well, I know that they're a law firm, or I know that they're a web, they've got all these millions of domains or so on. So it's a starting point. It's almost like it will be greater, because when we come onto the results, we'll see incident Arabic language
To address the survey part, the survey was conducted among different kind of end users, so both commercial, non-commercial. It was to have a representative sample from the commercial, non-commercial perspective, but also a representative sample from the different profiles in terms of what is the employment, occupation, or students, and also people of different ages, which was fine in some countries, more difficult to find in other countries. And that is why the survey results, at least registrant survey, they varied a lot, because, again, there were some findings that show to us that those companies, they had more difficulties, more challenges, and that's why we spent a whole amount of time to make sure that the sample was as representative of those who are interacting with the internet. Those who may have a domain name may have had a domain name. So they were really, different kind of people group were investigated.
Ma'am, my name is Shane Kerr. And I'm glad that we pointed out the issue that picking Arabic as a language to find sites was going to miss a lot of sites, because there are hundreds of languages, I guess, in this region. But I'm also wondering, it seems like you may have also overcounted as well, because there's a lot of people. Do you do any kind of sampling of the results to manually or in an automated way, maybe? I don't know how that would work, but to look at the results and see if there were a certain portion of them that were out of region?
I mean, there's certainly a lot of sanity checking going on through the collection process, although I think it's important to emphasise, as Emily's already pointed out, time pressure, and we're dealing with a huge number of sites here. I mean, the overall set we're dealing with is 150 million, and that was all we were using to reduce the set to those that were relevant for the region. So while some spot checking, yes, went on from the point of view of checking that we were actually getting, true and accurate results, it would be very defined going beyond that. So I think the assumption was generally made around a certain amount of Arabic characters, it would be a site that at least would be of interest study, because it would be related to the region in some way, opposed to, a forensic sort of, yeah.
I'd like to, I think I missed quite a relevant mission when I started giving the framework of this study, that the study was going to time frame, which is about 3 months. Not really 3 months, a bit less than 3 months, from the moment we started to the moment we, started to produce after. And so, again, we knew that from the start. Just to give you an idea, to produce the IDN World Report with UNESCO, which is produced over a time frame which is about 9-12 months. So the time also counts a lot. What I'm saying is not to justify that we have not investigated any further, just to say that what we are presenting now are the first findings of study, which we hope is just the first step in a path to continue to investigate the region. Really.
Just to be clear, I'm not criticizing, I'm just asking. You don't need quite so defensive. I think it's fine.
We have two more questions from remote participation, and then we have the discussions. The first, so both questions are from John Cormack, hosterstats.com, and he says, in his GLDs against the GTLDs?
That means if we check the volume of registrations, local CCTLDs against GTLDs in the region, yeah, we investigated that.
On his second question, he says, did you remove coming soon pages and other parking pages from the set of active websites?
I mean, yeah, there was definitely an element of that. I mean, when it came to the, especially the keyword analysis, we were very keen to eliminate any obvious sort of parking pages. So, I mean, and one of the key indicators for a parking page actually is a very, very small amount of actual content. So when it came to doing a keyword analysis, we were interested in pages which had more than a certain amount of content before considering them as actually being of any use to us. So for that particular part of the study, we were quite careful to not to look out for those kind of signals before treating them as valid for this study.
May I suggest that we move forward, because I see there are some questions relating to some slides we have not presented yet. So I'm leaving the floor to Emily, who's going to introduce us the findings. So thank you, Emily.
Thank you very much, Giovanni. I think the first sort of area that I wanted to cover in this was to around the region itself. We talk about the region as if it's one block or one thing, but it's and not just in population size, land mass, but in gross domestic product per capita. You know, you're looking from $100 per head in Afghanistan up to nearly $1,000 per head in Qatar. Literacy rates, you know, if you're going to be online, there are certain skills that you need in order to make the most of that experience, and literacy is a key skill reflected in sort of composite metrics like the development index that the ITU uses. So you're looking at sort of under 32% literacy rates in Afghanistan, full literacy in many of the countries actually in the region, 100% in Lebanon, for example. But also, you know, one of the speakers already has pointed out there are different regions. There is, you know, some of those Farsi would use Arabic, but there is a very much a different picture in the types of linguistic homogeneity across the region, from countries like the United Arab Emirates and Qatar, which would have very high percentages of migrant worker population, down to Iran, where it's a relatively more homogeneous picture. And when we look, drill down further and try and look at internet penetration and the sort of costs that people are paying, again, the picture is one of diversity. There are some real basic struggles that are going on in many of the countries in the region to get people online. 6% online in Afghanistan, to the high points in some of the Gulf UAE. But generally speaking, one thing that came through from the background study is that people are paying more services, basic internet services in the region than they are. This is a point that's been made for many years in many of the polls. Something that is definitely worth keeping in mind as we look at the domain name industry, because without these basic access provisions for people, you're not going to get or hope for a vibrant domain industry. There's also low levels of internet exchange points shown us that through the cooperation deployment of lots of internet, you reduce latency, you reduce costs, you enhance the internet experience for users. It really works. As soon as you get to the critical mass, it is one of those magic wands that we're all looking for. So, some very high-level findings. There's an awful lot more in the report, so please excuse, this is just a summary of some of the interesting things we wanted. Mark Robert Shaw from Oxhill mentioned that we scanned the language of web content. Now, in the world, in the popular websites in the world, still about 5% of those popular websites are in English language. Actually, to our surprise, we found that more than that, significantly more than that, of the popular websites in the region were primarily in 71%. That was a surprising, so surprising that we questioned. It's something that the Baharan we were talking about.
Thank you, Don Hollander. Was that across the region, or did you see clear differences country to country? Because I think I've heard you say is doing an analysis by region, which is so diverse, is probably going to give.
Yes, we did, and in particular, actually, in the user survey, we very much drilled down by country. We did take note of the web content. It will be there soon if it's not there. Yeah. Secondly, just looking at basic infrastructure and usage, I've covered a little bit. There are some basic hurdles to overcome in many of the countries. And one significant thing that I think sort of, when you think about all of us in this room and how long we spend each day online, it would probably be more than 3 hours, I'm guessing. And we found that a third of the people that we spoke to or that responded to our survey spend less than 3 hours online per day. Now, that's region-wide, and it really varies per country. And you see a very nice correlation, which is in the study. There's a lovely correlation between time online and business time spent. So we asked people if they were using social purposes or for business purposes, and as the index, the World Bank index for ease of doing business in a country goes up, so does the time online and so does the business use go up. It sort of makes sense, but it was quite sometimes nice to see the charts reflecting what you think might happen. But basic internet literacy is quite low in the region, and there are various sociological, only really just touched the surface of. Hosting was something that we were asked to look at because there are clearly very strong relations hosting and domain name registration in the region. We all know they're not one-to-one, but often they're related. What we found is that looking at the popular website on data set, less than 5%, sorry, did I say registered, hosted in the region, which for those of us who've been thinking about the region for some time, that kind of supported our view that we came to the study with the view that the hosting industry in the region is something that could be with, you know, that is still in the early stages, is quite weak in some areas. We did find a bit, and in different portions in different countries, that legislation and regulation about content and relating to intermediaries sometimes affects people and sometimes it doesn't. And it doesn't always correlate to the countries you would think it would. There's more detail of that in the report. In terms of language... Sorry.
Hi, I'm Shankar.
Because we have also some issues for this room. So can we take the questions at the end of the different part of the presentation, if you don't mind?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your patience in that. Language is something that, anyway, we've been looking at for crime in the context of the IDN study. We're interested in language of content, and also, you know, there's a virtuous circle, we and others think as well, between finding, engaging con languages you understand and having an incentive. And conversely, if you can't find engaging content in those languages, you don't have those incentives. We did find that English and French, they are spoken in many of the countries across the region, very clear, but they remain very key languages, large part of the population. But what we also found, which was very interesting, was how adaptable people are in switching language according to... So users expressed a strong preference to interact with their friends and with their government in Arabic or Farsi or their native, their local languages. But they would switch language to either French or English, usually, when they were doing other transactions, so if they were buying things. Yes, and also thinking about domain names, you know, domain name versus social media, people were telling us that they strongly prefer visiting websites in search. They're quite smart about it. They prefer to interact with their friends, exactly what you would expect, but they prefer to in government and with businesses on websites. And we were also asking people, had they uploaded content? What media had they uploaded content? They had all uploaded content, mostly to social media, but 31% to websites. Again, we found surprisingly high and quite... That, I'm going to hand over to Sebastian, who, along with Jokke at URID, performed a great chunk of the work in surveying the registrars and registries. So.
Thank you, Emily. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to share with you some of the findings from the registrar market to begin with. In order to get these findings, we interviewed the top 30 URID registrars. So these are worldwide registrars who function on an international level, are ICANN accredited, have several thousand domain names in their portfolio, and function across different markets. So they target end users and individual registrants, as well as helping out corporate clients get their brand consolidation, so going after several TLDs in one go. With this in mind, we came across three principal findings from the registrar market, the first being that competition in the local markets is relatively weak, which results in a poor choice of pricing and poor choice of options for the local users. A lot of the international registrars with the modern platforms are discouraged from including some of the region's CCTLDs in their portfolios due to several factors, some being restrictive pre-registration policies, others being that some registries have a preference towards local registrars only, or just having very complicated registration procedures, some of them still functioning on manual platforms. Finally, the registrars, the local ones did complain that there is a lack of dialogue between the registries and the registrars and the registrants. This is something we've learned from previous best practices, that a dialogue, an open dialogue, is really important towards creating a circle of trust that can really help the development of a market. And it's actually a really important point, this dialogue, that I'd like you all to keep in mind as we will be bringing it forward during the presentation. Afterwards, I'd like to share with you some of the findings from the registrant market. This was obtained through our end-user surveys. So in the countries, we communicated with survey organizations on the ground to help us get this survey done in time, so we selected them based on two criteria. First, we looked for respect. We wanted them to have a recognition of their name in their local markets and to be responsible. Afterwards, we were also looking for responsiveness in the sense that this survey had a very, very brief deadline, and we were operating during both period of Ramadan as well as during the summer break. So we needed a registry that could think fast, work fast. A survey company to think fast and work fast. So with this in mind, those survey companies we found were able to provide these surveys to the local parties in the local languages, French, English, Turkish, to really help us get the best answers possible. So we came across five principal key findings to share with you in this part. There are reports. The first being that the domain names themselves do compete with other forms of online. Social media, it's a lot easier to get a Facebook account to some users than to have their own domain name. Afterwards, a lot of the users complain about a lack of having local providers, as well as many of them couldn't actually name their current registrar. So there is room to improve the visibility. Many of them also said they don't buy value-added services when registering a domain name, so they're really sticking to the bare essentials in order to get their domains up and running. And finally, the choice of payment systems for registering the domain names is overall quite limited. Many online options or banked options exist, wire transfers, checks, online platforms that are based on credit cards. There's very few innovative options, mobile payments, prepaid card options, to allow the unbanked population to obtain their domain names. The next slide, I'd like to share with you some of the findings on the domain names themselves, as the region itself is comprised of 2.9 million domain names, 1.5 million of which are ccTLDs. The other 1.04 million are gTLDs and gTLDs hosted outside of. It is impressive to note that these are 1% of total global registered domain names. But despite of, or perhaps because of this number, they do have an impressive growth rate. The MEAC region has seen more than 20% per year growth rate, which is really quite nice, with an additional 21,000 IDNs in the region. These are split between the Turkish IDNs as well as Arabic script IDNs. Something that came out of the user survey related to domain names is the users in the region are quite savvy. They're doing direct navigation. They know what links they're looking to get. They're not using search engines as much. And in the case that they do use a search, they will look at what the search result link says, what that TLD is, so they know what they're looking for. And finally, with the registries, these were obtained through our registry surveys. We surveyed 12 countries, which comprised of 13 registries, as Egypt has two distinct registries, one for the .eg and one for the .masr. And so we got the information by looking on their websites when the information was available on them, contacting the ccTLDs directly in order to speak to a representative, as well as through the IANA websites and other sources. So five primary findings would start with the fact that the domain name penetration throughout the region is relatively low. Only three of the ccTLDs had higher than 10 domains per 100,000 in the population, and some comparator countries have far higher rate, 1 to 300 domains. Once again, going back to Emily's earlier comment of the diversity of the region, if we can just go to the next slide, you can see that there is a huge difference between domain name size. Some, such as United Arab Emirates registries, have a lot of domains. Some, such as the Afghani Syrian registries, far smaller registration numbers. So this is important. Afterwards, we discover that most of the ccTLDs existing in the region are confined to their territory. This goes back to the previously mentioned very strict and complex registration policies, both for the registrar accreditation and for the domain name purchasing procedure for the end user. Afterwards, we've noticed also that the historical facts are quite important for growth. We've noticed that with some registries that have liberalized recently, the .tn, registry, the .eg registry, the .ma registry, have seen substantial growth after the liberalization. And it's also quite important to note that once the liberalization procedure has happened, there usually is a 5 to 10 year period of what could be qualified as growing pains while the changes are fully institutionalized and taken into account. So that is an aspect to take into account for future registry growth. In other words, and the final finding is that there's a lack of clear and consistent communication between the registries and the registrars in the regional environment. And this goes back to that earlier point I'd asked you to remember of clear dialogue being necessary for the circle of trust. Although it is standard practice for many registries around the world to not display the registration numbers and so forth online, having that information available could be very interesting both for the registrars and for the registrant. Continuing to establish a clear dialogue and an open dialogue with the international institutions along with the registry registrar registrant model can go a long way towards further establishing and really help the market develop further.
Brief word on the keyword analysis. Mark mentioned that to try and understand what sort of content there was on these domain names region, we used search engine optimization. Those, at the bottom line, those are what will determine what's actually indexing and what's appearing on search engines. So the table to the left slide shows the top keywords in three categories: hosted anywhere, that's the entire larger data set anywhere in the world, hosted in the region, and then on the right of that table, we excluded Turkey because you'll see from the previous slide far the largest number of domain name registrations, so really influencing the results that we saw. See that even at a fairly high level of looking at across the region as a whole, you've got some marked different sort of keywords that are featuring in the. Also, we started to put together keywords that might indicate different types of usage. For this, we could say with some confidence there is a good range of web content, both in technical, news, tourism, commerce, property, religion, public sector, education, and sort of social bloggy type of thing. Now, of course, keywords, I think there's a whole wealth of research done to take this keyword analysis on further in terms of thinking, well, you know, some keywords could signal all sorts of different content and correlate. This, we were very much working with a sort of trial and error of this one fairly late in the study and would hope to be able to take it further at some stage. With that, I will hand over to Giovanni to introduce the
conclusion. Mother tongue in the panel. So, before taking the floor again, I'd like to ask if there are questions before we get into the conclusion and recommendations. There was one question from you, yes, and then I got Don.
Now I have two questions.
Okay, as I said, if there are questions.
Yeah, so it's Shane Kerr again. My first question is, were there restrictions on registrants being required to use local registrants? Have to go... Did an Egyptian have to go to an Egyptian?
That depends much on the local registry policies. So there are some local registries that they do have only local registrars, while there are some also internationally accredited registrars, which are also ICANN accredited registrars. That is something that is regulated at local level, at registry level.
Okay. And
I understood your question to... Sorry, this is Amr again. I understood your registrations under generic top-level...
Actually, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I thought it was just limited to the local registry.
Both are interesting.
Okay. That honestly, most of the international accredited, ICANN-accredited registry operate online, so... I don't think there are specific regulations, or at least we have not investigated, but okay. To the best of my knowledge... there are not this kind of limitations present in the region.
And my next question, hopefully it's short, is there's a lot of thing, and I guess I just want to be clear. This is about web hosting, right? There wasn't any research into the DNS infrastructure itself or technologies. No. And kind of related, did you dig in and unpack at all how CDNs work in the region? I mean, I understand there were time pressures. I'm just...
It's very well made, and it's... It's something that I think tends to reduce the number of that. Or if it's not with CDN, anecdotally, we knew that there are some strong registrars who had, you know, been telling us that they've done very well with particular domains, and yet cloud-based or hosted outside. And again, I think that those are points very well made to understand the region further. You would need.
I know, and that they're, I think, being able to say solutions for the region is simply impossible. It just makes no sense, but national things might make sense. You noted that Turkey had a huge number of registrations, legal requirement that every registered business. You look at other regulatory environments that might be affected.
Yes, we did, and in particular we looked at specific laws which have been enacted to either limit intermediary limit liability. So that makes no sense. But, you know, limit mere conduit, if we say that. There has been a wave of legislation. I must say, not just in the region, worldwide, there's been quite a trend to impose liability on intermediaries. For also, specifically in the region, we did find in laws which are specifically targeting different... We looked at those, and we also asked people in the survey how much that influenced testing. And the results weren't always what you would expect. Very interesting, and I think needs unpacking further. Because one of the points that we made in the study was that, you know, you would tend to get, you would expect, you know, there's been a recent law, say, in Turkey, or in Iran, quite a strict regulation relating to certain types of content. And yet from those countries, we got very positive results about hosting locally, and you could see in the data that they had a lot of domains hosted locally. And so there's a sort of, often in the human rights type of policy environments where several of us also operate, see a kind of correlation, say if you do enact these sort of laws, you will completely stifle and shut down your hosting. I think that it's not quite as simple as that. People will still host and they will still upload content enthusiastically, but it's probably, if you dig deeper, there's a different type. There are other things that they are not saying, because there's a very well-worn track of research which shows the chilling effects and will self-censor and avoid putting up certain types of avoid saying things in certain environments. I don't think we can straight say it kills your industry if you do that. We have to develop...
Iran and why they might have been counter you. The .IR registered phenomenally well. And this is, when you talk to the registry manager, his view is this is because... And local Iranians can't register, pay for it offshore, and I suspect the high level of it also be because of sanctions, because they can't pay for hosting offshore. So I think there's stories within in the data. Very excited to talk about in the region, and I hope that you do this, go through this in Merrick, more people from the region who can provide a diverse community.
I wish I could, but I have another question from the floor.
Rafatani, for the record. Well, I'll be brief, so we'll allow Giovanni to the region. To the point, actually, that Don was making earlier with regards to Iran, that kind of raises a smaller red flag for me, because if it says if the Iranian local registration level is high, and we're saying, actually, from a few slides, we said there were 2.9 registrations in the region, roughly 9 million, and about 1.4 million of that is outside the region. Actually, the Iranian... No?
0.4 million were hosted outside. I think was actually cut down quite a bit of scripts and different languages. But so a million GTLDs hosted in the region in round number, 0.4 million hosted outside, about 1.5 million CCTLs.
Yes, thank you, that's clear. And I think it actually empowers the point that I'm going to make, that if one of the reasons why the local Iranian choosing to do the Iranian to choose their own CCTLD is because they can't do it elsewhere. Well, the others that have the option to go elsewhere, only 400,000 of them are going elsewhere, means there's somewhat discrepancy in this data somewhere. There's a gap somewhere. I'm not sure where it is, but it seems like I would assume this figure would be much higher. But we can time offline. The hosting, yeah, absolutely. The other thing was skimming through, and the reason I'm saying this, I know this is a draft copy, and I really hope that ICANN don't try and limit the time even more, and that we get some more substance and more teeth in it, rather than trying to get something out as quickly as possible. I've noticed that it's very Turkey heavy. But a note to make, and hopefully in the second draft, with regards to the regulations on specific countries, they seem to come from a lot of secondary sources. I know that language is a barrier in obtaining the legislation from the local countries, but I think it is essential when I mean, specifically, I was interested in Saudi Arabia, naturally, and I was looking through that, and I was flagging a lot of things that I thought were inaccurate because they were coming from secondary sources and not coming from the regulator themselves. And that's just something for me to flag for yourselves to on your second draft. But we can take, there's a long list here, I don't want to take more time.
Thank you, we can talk about this. Grateful for that. And, you know, if you can share any input and any corrections, we'd be really grateful.
I have the Mission Impossible, and thank you for facilitating the Mission Impossible. So, as a matter of fact, the first point of the conclusion is that it's an incredibly diverse region. And we have tried to detect the first one being that there is a sort of lack of competition in the domain name system market at present, and turns into having a poor choice for end user, high prices. And that is an element that, we saw something similar happening in Europe 25 years ago. It was more or less like that, and the market developed. And there's also a lack of local providers and value-add services, limited choice in payment options, as we said. That is, something really important because, again, when you place especially the domain name, if you think that most of the international registrars are now signing the domain name together with specific hosting packages and also content management options and much, much more, and that creates an extra value for what you're buying. And so there are added services are at the top of the domain name chain. We have detected that there are really a lot of... And we can only agree with what came from the floor during today's presentation, that the region, as I said, is it's difficult to make recommendations for that can apply to each country, to each registry, to each registrar in the region. Say that what we valued most is the feedback we had directly from many of the registries and the registrars who spoke very openly to us. And this feedback had not only during the time frame of this study, but also during the, for instance, DNS Center training course, which we had together with Emily in the past, and also in the participation in several Arab forums that were organized by ICON in the past, where we were engaging with local registries and registrars who very openly and very honestly communicated to us about what are the needs at local level and how we can, help them to refine, for instance, their policies, how we can help them to improve, enhance the dialogue with local registrars, and, of course, versa, because it was also a request from registrar. So there are really a lot of elements that have come up during the study. That said, and before we go into the real final conclusions, I leave the floor to Emily for a couple of slides or going through the very last slides. Thank you, Emily.
High speed. Canter through the last slides because I'm aware of time. I think, we generally finish the study optimistic about the outlook for the DNS market in the region. Users are using domain names more than perhaps one would expect for direct navigation, so they put the domain name into the browser bar more often than global. They upload content to websites, they told us, and they prefer interacting with governments and businesses on sites. I think we've heard a lot about how the competitive environment in the region is weak, and you have to also sort of also look more broadly at how the environment is actually hard worldwide. Volumes have tended to be flat, and the tendency for ccTLDs in the rest of the world to open up to try and simplify the process. Strong growth, yes, but when you have small numbers, it's quite easy to put up double-digit percentage. But it's not just in the deregulated domains that you see strong growth. It's also in the closed domain. But the market, three domains per thousand of population is very, there's definite room for improvement. Those of us who are interested in internationalized domain names, both there's lots of indications for potential growth. The use of direct navigation, the checking of domains means that if you don't on a Latin script, you're at a disadvantage. And therefore, I would put to you that if you have domains in Arabic script in search results, that's going to be really useful region. And of course, Universal Accept on and others in ICANN are doing a great job in coordinating is absolutely an essential provision. Thinking about recommendations for the wider environment, well, who are we to say? But, you know, let's go back to the basics. Internet access, you're not going to get vibrant markets in any way until we've got people online at affordable prices and the basic... And that's the job of all stakeholders, we know that. And you know, the multi-stakeholder approach, I think, in my personal opinion, is particularly effective in development, in developing countries, where you see that all people cooperate to solve problems in a practical way on the ground. I think a focus on ways to enhance local language content is essential, because although we found that people were very adaptable switching languages, 50% weren't, meaning that 50% are sticking to their local languages. And when you put that together, low levels of content in those languages, those people are not getting the most out of the internet. And I think sort of both for policymakers and investors, the focus should be on supporting e-commerce and actually really in the online environment.
It's going to be like a roller coaster because there are people outside that may kill us. So, again, the last recommendations and... I want everybody safe out of this room soon. First of all, we have seen, again, a great diversity in the region. The recommendation we can set at very high level is that local operators, registrars, they should set clear strategies with measurable goals if they want to grow the market further. Liberalization, deregulation of policies can drive growth, but a sustained approach is needed, which means that deregulating the market, opening the policies, making them, let's say, more open to international registrars and eventually even international registrants is just the first step. And the establishment of a strong circle of trust, continuous dialogue, as Sebastian was saying, is essential if the DNS environment grow in the region. Rebranding the local TLDs could be, for some of them, as we are speaking about a very diverse region, some of them they can rebrand their own TLD, and that could be a stimulus to further growth and can be a stimulus for supporting change at the local TLD level. But again, this is just one aspect, and there are many more that have to be considered by a registry. Participation in regional CCTLD organization or DNS center, we have seen ourselves when we were engaging in this DNS center for the Arab region that there is a strong need for having information, for having best practices. And there are regional organizations like the APTLD, they can really be a great repository of best practice used by local registries and registrars to further grow. The cooperation with other service providers can facilitate indeed the universal acceptance of IDNs, which are particularly important for the region. We have two great examples of two registries, the Korean registry and the Chinese registry. They have embarked themselves in long dialogues with key service providers at international level, and that has contributed to the strengthening of IDNs in their region and to the universal acceptance of the scripts that they were offering. Registrar relationship, we will never get tired of saying they are the key. And again, if you want to promote domain names, and especially if you embrace the registry, registrar, registrant model, registrar relations are really the crucial factor you have to bet on, because they can drive the growth of your registry. There are a lot of marketing strategies that can be implemented in the region. And again, they can be customized at the different registry level. And one element that is also crucial to boost and at least to highlight how important is the role of a local TLD is to make sure that there is a link between the TLD and the local community, because sometimes the local TLDs, they do a lot already for the local communities, but they don't, let's say, profile this role, these actions enough. And this can be, again, another driver for growing the local TLD. And a recommendation for the registrars, because we have been seeing and we have been collecting a lot of information from some local registrars. We have seen that there is a tendency to sell just the main names without, as I said before, other value-add services. And this is an aspect that should be improved at local level. If, again, we would like to see the main names growing, if we like the main names driving more internet literacy in the region. Again, those are very high-level recommendations. Those recommendations can be tailored to the various countries which we have investigated. We'll be very happy to continue to refine the study, because we are presenting the very first findings of a product that, of course, can be refined with stronger, let's say, feedback and much, let's say, from those who have their hands in the region. So I'd like to thank again ICANN. I don't know if there are questions at stage. I know that we have to free the room as soon as possible, because apparently there is another meeting. Happy to answer any question. We are available, and I'm sure Bahar can share our emails to the participants. And I know that also ICANN is collecting the comment, the public comments. So, again, thanks again for this opportunity to present the first findings.
Thank you, Giovanni, and thank you all the panelists for a great job. A quick reminder, the study is out there on the website. Please send your comments and feedback. It's very important. Otherwise, you know, Jurid is going to finalize the study in a couple of days, and that's it. So please try to give them more homework to do. Thank you for coming.